Come on, you may be seated. Thank you, Ben. We're going to try and launch straight into things. Come on, I can feel God's presence in the room. It's going to be a powerful night. I'm excited. Passionate, you might say. That's actually a theme we are launching as a church this week and in the coming weeks. And the reason is we want to stir up our passion for God. Who wants to stir up their passion for God? Come on, there's always higher levels we can go with God. There's more things we can discover about Him. But when we stir up our passion, we get closer to God. We get to know Him more. The fast is going to help us do that. Who's excited for the fast? Come on. I'm thinking of trying a bone broth fast this time around, so I still get the good fats in. I can go to the gym. We'll see how she goes. I'll report back. But we want to get passionate about God, right? And the reason is we want to stir ourselves up because we've got a conference coming up. It's going to be awesome. God's going to be moving. And over these coming weeks, we're going to just get stirred up to have more of God in our lives. Okay? Come on. Now, I want to kind of frame this whole preach tonight in this scripture. It's the highest command that Jesus gave us, okay? And it's really our guiding scripture for the coming few weeks, so you hear it a lot, but let me read it to you. It's in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. Then Jesus replied. Okay, so what happened here? A little bit of context. The Pharisees used to always try and catch Jesus out, okay? So they said to him, okay, we're keeping all these laws, there's all these commandments, which one's the greatest? And this was Jesus' reply, okay? He's actually quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, okay? So that is Moses. Right back at the beginning, God gave him the Ten Commandments. And then there's a whole heap of other kind of laws and things that God gave the Israelites to live a God-driven life, okay? A good, godly life where they're protected and under His protection. So he's quoting the scripture from there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It's powerful. Now, the question that I've got, though, is why did Jesus, like from all the other commandments that he could have chosen, why did he choose this one? That's the question that I asked myself when I read this again. And for me, what I believe it is when I went straight back to the beginning where God created us, He first and foremost created us to be in a relationship with Him. That's why I believe Jesus actually quoted this commandment. And let me just kind of unpack that a little bit, what that means, okay? So I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world, Marina Crowder. I love her with all my heart. So we're married. Our marriage certificate confirms that. How many years ago? 12 years ago. In front of a bunch of people, we said, I do, to one another. The pastor that's been given the authority to bless us and to pronounce us husband and wife, he did so in public. But here's the thing. Those traditions and legal aspects of marriage, they don't actually form the relationship that we share. Okay? The rules, the legalities of it don't do so. It's our relationship that's actually the base of our marriage. And you know what? Like, that is the base of it. The other kind of parts that play into it is that she really couldn't keep her hands off me when she met me. Like, she was thinking about me all the time, I tell you. That's what formed our relationship. Come on, guys. I'm punching way above my weight up here. I'm just kidding, all right? But that is what formed our relationship, us falling in love with each other. And then tending to that love is what keeps us in relationship. Okay, all right? So we're getting this. Now, let's circle right back. God created us to be in a relationship with Him. Our love for Him, then, is that marker of that relationship with Him. Okay? Now, it's not keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not keeping a bunch of rules. That's why Jesus didn't mention that. I reckon Jesus made this the greatest commandment because God's number one priority is for us to passionately love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. All right? So now the question becomes, how do we do that? Because I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew this scripture, but I didn't really know it. So what I'm hoping to do tonight is just really unpack what it actually means to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Are you ready? Let's get strapped in. Let's do this then. So number one, I want to cover to love God with all of our soul. Okay? So what does that mean? This one's actually really, really cool. When I got my thinking right around this and I understood what it was, it totally changed how I looked at God and the way that I was able to love him. So I believe it's going to do the same for you tonight. But in the simplest form, to love God with all our soul means, what the soul actually does, is that our soul dictates our will and our thinking. Okay? So that's the soul. If we understand what the soul is, it dictates our will and our thinking. Now, earlier on, I talked about our wedding day, okay? So one of the decisions that Marina and I made when we first got married is that we would lay down the life that we used to live in Caboolture, where lifestyle matters, and you drink a bunch of beers. We left that behind, and we 100% decided that we would dedicate ourselves to Jesus and to going to church and opening our heart to him. That was a decision that we made. Okay, was it easy? No. Usually when you decide big things like that, there is going to be a little bit of resistance. There's going to be a little bit of fighting. It was the same for us. We'd come to church and we'd be fighting. We'd go home from church and we'd be fighting. That fighting did cease over time, so that's good news. But don't tell me you haven't done it. Come on, anyone that's got a little bit of pressure in their life, I know it happens. But we, you know what? Love covers all of that. Isn't that good? It's good. But here's the thing. No matter what came, like we lived at King's Beach. Man, when the sun was shining, like right on the beach, I used to see the sunrise, beautiful beach. I could have easily just said, nah, we're not going to church. We're going down to the beach. But I made a choice. We made a decision to keep turning up. I made a decision to follow Jesus. That's what it comes down to. It's not about coming to church with us. It's I make a decision to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you haven't made that decision, I want to give you that chance later on as well. It's going to be the most awesome thing that you can do. It'll change your life. Right. Now, here's the thing, though. So we make that choice to follow Jesus. That's great. And we tell our soul, our will, we make that choice. But then we got to keep making that choice day after day after day. That's the power of actually loving God with all of our soul. It's not just a one-time choice that I'm going to love him with my soul. I'm going to do it in the morning. I'm going to do it in the evening. I'm going to do it this Sunday, next Sunday, and the Sunday after that. It's a daily choice. Each one, we all got to make this choice, not just me. All of us have to make that choice. It's a daily engagement with our soul. That's what to love God with all our soul means, to make a conscious choice each day to love him. All right? So that's our soul. Now, where does the heart fit into this? All right. So, if that is our soul, the heart is the emotional part of our being, okay? So it's how we feel about ourselves. It's our conscious. It forms our personality. In effect, it determines our actions, what we do. Okay? Now, here's the intricate thing about the heart. Okay? The Bible says that when we accept Jesus, I said that earlier on, so when we accept Jesus into our heart, our old spirit gets replaced with a new spirit. Okay? This is really important to get. So when we say, Jesus, I want to lay down my old life the way that I did that, and I invite him into my heart, our old spirit, our sinful nature gets replaced with his spirit. We become one with him. Really, really powerful. But at the same time, it makes things really interesting. Because ready, get this. So we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, okay? And the Holy Spirit saying, oh, I want to pour love into you. I want to pour joy into you. I want to pour hope into you. I want to pour peace into you. But then our heart, on a bodily level, we can hold on to things. Hurt, disappointment, offense, and all these things can fester. So the Holy Spirit is trying to come in and give us peace, hope, love, joy. But then we sometimes decide to let these other things into our heart as well. And what can happen is when we get hurt and we don't deal with that, it can actually harden our hearts. We can, those things, they can fester. They can get worse. And you know what happens? Sometimes then we actually distance ourselves from God. We're like, this is too hard to handle. I'm just going to shut God out from that part of my life. We distance ourselves from church. We stop turning up. Things like that start to happen. Who knows, when you get to a place like that, it's pretty hard to love God with all your heart. And there's just hurt in there, disappointment from things that may have happened, that may not have. Like, even though God said it would, and it hasn't happened yet, it happens. That's pretty normal. Like, it's happened to me as well. But when we let ourselves get to a place, it's pretty hard to love Him. And it's the opposite happens. Like I said, we start distancing ourselves from God, but also from the people that we love. We shut people out. And here's the crux of it is this. We let our feelings dictate our life. This is the thing. This tension that's going on between what the Spirit wants for us and what our emotions tell us. Okay? So we've got to go back to the soul, and we've got to make a conscious choice in our soul that I know that I'm feeling this way. I know that I've got hurt. I know that I'm disappointed, but I'm going to make a choice to pray. I'm going to make a choice to seek God anyway. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm making a choice that I want to follow God with all of my heart, which means I'm going to let that be, and I know it, I understand it, but I'm going to go to praise. I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to go to prayer and let the Holy Spirit fill my heart with all the promises, with all those things, and I start listening to the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens? We actually receive forgiveness in that as well. Because it's simple. It was that for me when I was really disappointed with my dad passing away. I actually had to repent because I was blaming God. You've left me on my own. But you know what? We repent and then we can reset. That's the beautiful thing. This is what I love. Romans 5:5 says this, and this is really what happens. It's like this great exchange when we let God into our lives. It says this, and hope does not put us to shame. Isn't that beautiful? We can have hope for these things, even when we're disappointed. Hope doesn't put us to shame. Even if the train's so far gone, God can do anything. Hope does not put us to shame. So He doesn't want us to stop believing. God does not want us to stop believing, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So isn't that an awesome picture? I'm disappointed. I'm sad. I've got all these emotions going on. But when I actually open my heart to God, that may not change. The situation may not change. But what happens is love pours into my life and He brings healing. That is the power of opening our heart to God. That's what it means to love God with all of our heart. All of our heart. It breaks that tension where the Spirit is trying to pour into us and then our emotions say this. It breaks that and the Holy Spirit wins. I love that. When we submit to Him, when we open our full heart to God. That's what it means to love with our whole heart. Is that all right? Okay. So that's the first two. Loving God with our soul means to make a conscious choice each day to love Him. To love God with all of our heart means to prioritize Him over all other things in our lives. Okay, So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of our mind. Okay, so to love God with our mind, it's pretty simple. Like it's we're thinking about him. Yeah. He is on my mind.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's the first thing. I'm thinking about God all the time. I want him in my life, so I'm going to think about the great things he has done, the great things he's going to do, what he's done for me, what he's done for my family, what he's done in this church, what he's done in Bonnie and Josh's life. Like, that's what I want to be thinking about. That's the power of loving God with all your mind. And then the other side to that is we need to be renewing our mind daily as well, okay? Because the world, it vows for your mind. Like, it wants to drag you out. It wants to make you think that you're not worthy, that you're not, that you're stupid, that you can't amount to anything. But that's not what the Word of God says. And the way that we switch that we get a mindset, is by renewing our mind. Paul puts it like this when he wrote to the Roman church in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. See how he addressed that very thing? Don't think like the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. We got to get this. When we do this, we understand what God's will is for our lives. God starts revealing things to us, how he sees us. That for me, it's, I'm his son. I am loved. He's passionate about me. He's for me, not against me. Jesus lives in me. And if I believe that, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the kind of things that you'll start to realize in your mind. Because here is his will towards us. It's good. It's what it says right here in the scripture. It's good, it's pleasing, and perfect. Isn't that awesome? Like, how can you not be passionate to seek God every day? And all of this is available for us when we love him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul. Now, really practical, okay? So we want to stir ourselves up in these coming 2 weeks. So for me, to love God with my mind, what does that look like? Okay, it boils down to two things for me, okay? Number one, I make time to read the Bible every day. Super simple. But man, it will change your life when you start letting God talk to you than what the world says, than what your situation says. Each morning, I want to hear from God. I want his word to come alive for me. Because I want to know his perfect will for me. I want to know the plans that he has for me. Because there is all these promises in there, hidden in the Bible. I want my mind to be thinking about him. That's what happens when you start reading the word. You start thinking about Jesus and God. I want his word to actually guide my thoughts. See how earlier on we said our emotions start to dictate our life? When we start aligning our thoughts with his, it's actually our mind says no, God says this. I know my emotions say that, but this is the truth. That's what the Bible is. It is the truth, the Word of God. Because the Bible also says, as a man thinks, so he is. So there is power to this as well. So I want to make sure my thinking is right, okay? Because I don't want any blockages in my thinking that could actually stop me from loving God. So we got to get our thinking right. And by reading the word, we do so. So that's number one for me. Number two, I make time to pray every day. Again, this is super simple. It's like read the word, time to pray. Because again, in my early days as a Christian, like that scripture, it wouldn't have made sense to me at all. And you may have walked in that way as well. But really, the way to renew your mind, what that means is read the word, pray. And here's how I pray, okay? I pray in tongues. That's the first thing, because I want to engage my spirit. How I said it earlier on, I want to engage my soul every day. So I speak in tongues. Because you know what happens? The Bible says that we edify ourselves when we speak in tongues. The Bible says, out of his belly, when you believe in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he's going to actually dictate the things that I'm going to say, the things that I'm going to be thinking about. That's the power. And I want to stir myself up. I want to take a hold of everything God has for me. And when I pray in tongues, that's what happens. I stir my spirit up. That's what makes me passionate. That's what gets me passionate about God, because He's a living God. And that is proof of it in your life. Start praying in tongues. The next thing I do is I get filled with the love of the Father. I have to do this every day. Like I said earlier on, we've all got heart issues. There'd be things that you've been disappointed with. Like I read out, what God wants to do every day is pour out His love into your heart. But we've got to open it. And the way that we open our hearts is in prayer. We receive His love. And then I pray in faith. Not as things are, not as the world says they are, but how I believe God can make them to be. I go to the Word, I speak His truths, I speak His promises. And I'll tell you what, it's a wrestle each day. It's a choice that I have to make each day to renew my mind that way. But that's what unlocks passion in our hearts. To love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Such a good thing. That's why this is the number one command. Because it's so powerful. And here's kind of the turning point, I believe, of loving God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. And in my experience, it's this. The things in our lives, the issues in our lives, aren't so much about us anymore. I don't make things about me, but I make things about others. Jesus said it like this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. When we love God in this way, this is the beautiful thing. You can't force your mind to change. You can't just like think good thoughts. I've tried that and I failed. What needs to happen is we need to be changed from the inside out, and that's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do with people here tonight. That's what He wants to do every day. And we love Him with all of our heart and our mind. Here's the cool thing. We start to love others as ourselves. Because look, we've all got this, don't leave me hanging up here, but we've all got this selfish bent in us. Like, it's this transformation where we stop thinking so much about us and we start prioritizing others. We become generous towards others, rather than trying to hold on all the money that we can make. When we love God this way, it actually makes it easier to forgive others. Because you know what? He has first forgiven us. So we can now repay this. See how it's the whole circle? Instead of just keep praying about my own things in my prayer time, I now pray for others. I pray for the will of God to come to pass in the people that I lead in my Connect group, in Vision Builders, in the people that we're raising. We value others above ourselves. That's what this is. To make it my goal that you would reach your goal. That's what love is. I reckon that is the full circle of this command and what Jesus said. This is the number one thing, because on the one hand, it gives us everything we need to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. That fills us to overflowing. Like, our God is a God of more than enough. He wants us to have the best life. He has all these things for us. He wants you to be successful. But He also wants to know that He is Lord of your life. And that's how we show Him that. But then you know what happens? There is an overflow in our life. And what God has done to us, we want to do that unto others as well. We want to give that same gift to all the people around us, our family, our friends, those that don't know Jesus yet. I believe when we do that, that's when we're going to see a revival. We're going to see God move in powerful ways in this church, on the Sunshine Coast, and in Australia.
Yeah, that's right, Dave.
And we start, each one of us starts to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our minds. And we all know now what that means. Isn't that beautiful? For so many years, I just kind of skipped past that scripture, but when you know, okay, my heart, I open my heart to God. I don't let my emotions dictate how I feel. I let God's word do that. My soul, I make a choice to follow Jesus. And I renew my mind. I want to be thinking about God. That's when this thing comes alive and we live out everything that God has called us to do. It's so good. Church, can we close our eyes?